Okay, make sure you're in fellowship as we are here. Looking at the steward searching the brothers' bags for the silver cup that supposedly they stole. The Hebrew language, again, is, as I mentioned earlier, is fairly colorful in regards to describing the search, as it uses terms for the sex act, bore, as he pierced through them, thoroughly, is the ending word in that regards, kalah, kalah, meaning that they were getting the royal skewered thoroughly. And that's the language of the scripture being used. And how many churches you go on, I hear a pastor tell you that. Of course, I'm trying to clean it up. I know you're shocked. But that's exactly what's happening to them. They are getting messed over big time. This whole thing has been planted. It's nothing but a kangaroo court that is basically being promoted. And this is all part of Joseph STA revenge tactics directed towards them on his own part. It is not, even though obviously they have to endure the suffering, and there's a lot of irony that's associated with their original sin of Joseph 22 years ago. It is not depicted as divine discipline in regards to their persons. It is depicted as SCA activity exercised towards them under undeserved suffering. That's part of the, what I want you to make sure you got clear in your mind on this. Sound doctrine is so often so set apart from the general thoughts of men and religious ideas that people have in regards to things. And here, essentially, the brothers are undergoing undeserved suffering as God permits, obviously, under his permissive will, Joseph to engage in these activities. Understand, God has will. His will is known as the sovereignty. Christ said, not my will, but the will of the Father. He is designer, he's creator, his will is sovereign. That's what goes. Either you line up with it, or else you're out in the street on your own. Under his sovereign will, he exercises it with a directive, hence his directive will, what he wants us to think, say, and do. God has permissive will. He permits evil to exist alongside good. This recognizes the very existence of volition or free will among men and to engage in disobedience in regards to God. God also has overruling will, which the world is going to find out once again historically in this respect, as ultimately he overrules evil at all times, but historically in great ways sometimes, in order to ensure the integrity of his plan being fulfilled in regards to mankind. Then God has geographical will. Here, obviously, Joseph's geographical will was to be put in Egypt, to be blessed as he was, and to provide a place of living grace and to fulfill a prophecy given to Abraham in regards to Israel as a people being held enslaved by a foreign people and things of this nature. That was the geographical will for him. God's geographical will for the believer today is to be where sound Bible doctrine is being taught, following the mandate of Hebrews 11:25, not to forsake the assembly of yourselves together, even more so as the day approaches. And I'm here to tell you, even more so has been ignited in a big way. Shorter and shorter we're getting. You can almost taste it in the air, if you will, in regards to it can't be that much longer before the return of Jesus Christ on both fronts, the rapture and the second advent. So anyway, God has will here. Joseph is operating in his permissive will, and he's permitting, God's permitting his persecution, animosity, hostility towards his brothers to go upon them. How they field it has not been the greatest, obviously, on their own part, as they operate, tend to operate under mysticism, etc. But ultimately, I do believe they come to grips and terms with all of this. So when they find, when the steward finds the cup in the Benjamin's bag, the men obviously all freak out. They get under immense grief, and they tear their clothes as an indication over a sign in regards to that. And so point 25 here, page 12 of our notes there, they now have a taste of the same type of grief as they brought upon their father Jacob with the news of Joseph. Joseph's retaliation, how these things come about. Yes, we can put the parallels together and see this, etc. But it's all because they remain maladjusted to doctrine overall. If there is discipline involved, it's because of their own continued maladjustment, see, that is associated with them. 26, where we pick up here, of all the brothers, Benjamin is the last that they might expect and the last that they would ever want to have arrested and removed from their care. He is their special cargo, beyond the food, maybe even more so than the food, based on, obviously, what they know their father expects from them and how their father holds Benjamin in the place of his heart, etc. So, you know, find the cup in anybody else. Okay. You jackass. But Benjamin, oh no, man, not this. And that's the last thing they want. And Joseph knows this. He recognizes just how valuable Benjamin is in regards to them. He's put things together. He doesn't maybe have the in-depth perception of everything, but he sees it in general. And the fact that Benjamin wasn't with him to begin with, and brothers told him because of his special place in the family, he could obviously put two and two together. So 27, they can thank God here that the steward was more sensible in his warrant, as the situation could have been a lot worse. 28, did they not carelessly offer to let the guilty be executed? Let him die. If you can find a cup on one of us, let him die. So think before you speak. And people often, so often, open their mouths. And how many fires and conflicts have come about just from the verbiage of people? People not thinking before they talk, etc. And obviously, we're all probably guilty of it to a certain degree. But here, you have an example where they really put their foot in the mouth on this one, so to speak. That was verse 9. So 29, now obviously the whole mood and tempo of the brothers' actions does a 180 turn here. Does a 180. Initially, with much zeal and energy, they, take the bags off, search us out, we're innocent. And now that whole situation has changed. Just that's just how quick things can change in your life. Again, how many times have we seen this example with the brothers here? That we can obviously parallel in regards to our own Christian lives and even in history, how fast things can change. When God determines to do something, you don't need a long fanfare and introduction for it to happen. If He wants it to happen quick, it will happen. See. And here, as high as they may have been riding on their own sense of righteousness, in this case, once again, they're thrown on their heads. And then they do a complete 180. Again, it shows the emotional roller coaster ride that people are not seeming it in sound doctrine will find themselves on as they let their emotions rule. So 30, their new disposition is captured then in the final clause, quote, "And when each man loaded his donkey, they returned to the city. Wa Amas Ish HaKamor Wa Shub HaIr." 31, the Hebrew verb used for, quote, "loaded," end quote, is Amas, reflecting the physical act of putting the cargo back on their donkeys. Nehemiah 13:15, example. The same rendition of a physical placing of cargo on transportation. In those days, I saw in Judah some of them who were trading wine presses on the Sabbath, bringing in a sack of grain and loading them on donkeys. So there's had a parallel use there, as well as wine, grapes, figs, all kinds of loads, burdens. They brought them into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. So I admonished them on the day they sold food in regards to violating the Sabbath by working. They were doing actual labor to make money and things of that nature. The Sabbath has created much turmoil in the approach of people in regards to believers, Jews, Christians alike, on what it really was all about. First and foremost, God created the Sabbath for man to sit back and rest. It teaches the principle of the faith rest. God's going to provide for you. You don't have to work your fingers to the bone every damn day of your life. Obviously, we're not discounting working hard and being diligent and doing all these things. Now, we understand that. But it's that attitude that if I don't work, somehow God's going to let me down. I'm not going to make ends meet. God can't provide for me. You remove from your very thought processes and your very focus in life the one who provides for you all things. And hence the Sabbath, the Jubilee years, all these things were designed to teach the principle of faith rest. And the Jews, as we know, became very legalistic with it. By the time Jesus Christ showed up on the scene in the first Advent, they come up with additional laws that they added to the Sabbath, such as you can only walk a certain amount of feet, you know, on a Sabbath. If somebody was hungry, they couldn't take some grain off of the wheat heads in the field and put it in their hands and eat it. You know, and things that they had costed Jesus regards to his disciples, and he constantly had to rebuke them over these things, the legalism, and then he had the other aspect of it, not willing to faith rest. So, you know, there's a balance to doctrine, only with consistency, persistency, and seeking the entire counsel does one really find that balance in regard to doctrine as it's to be applied. So here, our term loaded, that was Nehemiah 13:15, looks at the physical act of putting the cargo back on the donkeys. At 32, however, it also carries a connotation of placing or carrying a burden, both physically and emotionally. Both physically and emotionally. Okay, we saw 1 Kings 12:11, 2 Chronicles 10:11.
Again, it's a parallel off Kings there. In this under King Rehoboam, many of the kings of Israel were negative, evil type of individuals. The positive adjusted seemed to be the minority overall throughout their history. But anyway, again, this is used metaphorically, whereas my father loaded you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke the oppression of the citizenry of the country, the Jews. I will add to your yoke, that looks at forms of taxation, mandates, edicts, and things that might be placed upon them, robbing them of civil liberties and things of this nature that go against actually the law, the Mosaic law, as they would in a legalistic way. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions. And then Nehemiah 4:11, back to Nehemiah. All right, I'm not sure about that one. I'm going to double check that one. Psalm 68:20. Again, often these words are translated differently. God is to us a God of deliverances. God the Lord belongs, escapes from death. I'd have to go back and look and see where that is at in that one. All right, I'll go back and double check that. It's there, I've read it. You read so much, sometimes you tend to draw a blank. Like, that's the first time that's ever happened to me. But anyway, 33, the typical verb to load here is nasa, which means to lift, up. 42:26, as it was used there in that regards. They loaded their donkeys there. That's nasa. They used nasa. So Moses here uses a different term in this particular context. To note burden. To note a burden, either physically or emotionally. So 34, the author picks the verb amos in our verse to picture the dread and emotional burden laying heavily upon the brothers after the cup is found in Benjamin's sack and as overtly demonstrated through the tearing of their clothes. So 36, the repacking of their animals was done methodically, if you will, in a state of disbelief and kind of shock. Again, the whole mood is completely changed. You just see them dragging themselves, putting their bags back up on the donkeys. Can't believe, once again, life is never as it seems.
37, they have gone from extreme confidence to complete emotional devastation. However, much to their credit, these men do not abandon Benjamin as all concerned return to the city, even though they were given permission in no uncertain terms by the steward that they were innocent, that they would be considered innocent. But they obviously are not going to go back. How could they face their father in these conditions? So 39, this strongly suggests that over the years the brothers had grown with respect to integrity, concern for their father, and fraternal solidarity, which obviously is important as they are the foundation for the nation Israel as a peoples in its distinct tribal form. And while it's easy enough, to pick out faults of people, I mean, especially when it's laid out as clear as it is often in the scripture in regard to people. I don't either. I don't want to look past the fact that when there is spiritual stride that is evident, to at least point it out. So over the 22 years, it's not like the brothers, while they may still have a lot, be left a lot desired in regards to their spiritual matriculation, etc. Some progress has come about. Sometimes that can come about just through the physical maturity, emotional maturity of people growing up. But here we see a sense of integrity. They gave their father their word, and hence they, whatever they've done to their father in terms of Joseph and the grief that's brought upon him for the last years, doesn't mean that they're completely black-hearted and cold-hearted towards Jacob. They do love their father. Understand people can do stupid stuff towards the people that they love. You don't have to hate somebody to do something stupid. Fraternal solidarity, the unity of the brotherhood, we see this. And again, as I pointed out, that's part of their saving grace, if you will, in this situation, that they stick together. You can picture the fact, well, if they take an opportunity to go home that way, then the story would end up a whole lot different. 40, even though they were free to go, they take the responsibility here in their sense of duty. They gave their father their word. At least we see in Judah, obviously, being the hinge of that. You see them keeping their word. You give somebody your word, keep your word. In fact, we're supposed to keep our word even to our own hurt. Now, obviously, people can go goofy with that too. I gave him my word that I go sin with him. Well, break your damn word and don't sin. Come on. You know, what discipline do you want to live under? The sin, or recognizing that, I'm not a complete idiot. I'll get my act together here. So, yeah. Again, people abuse doctrine one way or the other. It's nothing new. So here they take the responsibility and their sense of duty to father and one another. 41, in that vein, whereas they had shown hatred towards Joseph, they now exude love towards Benjamin, which in the whole scenario, the whole scene, if you will, parallels Joseph to a certain degree. As Benjamin was Joseph's only full-blood brother, he's still the only one that shares the same mother, Rachel, with him. And the father continues to dote over him and treat him special, etc. So that reflects some good things, if you will, in regards to maybe how they've come about in terms of what they did to Joseph. Obviously, it's still on their mind as we go through these scenarios, and they're going, oh, no, God's after us now, 22 years later. Oh, no, man, what a life. Think 22 years later, you did a sin 22 years ago, and you're still thinking, oh, no, God's still after me. Well, if you're not persistent in the sin, why would he still be after you? See? I mean, if you've rebounded it, you've dealt with it, etc. Yeah, if you're still being an idiot in that area, well, yeah, he may still be after you again. But this is, if it wasn't so sad, it'd be humorous. All right, verses 14 through 17, I've titled A Confession. As the brothers with Benjamin will all return back to Joseph's house and meet him face to face once again. So let's look here at the Hebrew. Verse 14, when Judah and his brothers came to Joseph's house, he was still there, and they fell to the ground before him. So the narrative now changes emphasis in regards to the subject at hand, making Judah, presenting Judah once again. It's already done this when it came about in regards to all the way back to Joseph's kidnapping, and then in the dealing with their father, Jacob, in return of Benjamin, as we saw in that context. And now, once again, he's brought front and center as being the spokesperson of the group. And obviously, we know from the tribe of Judah comes the kings of Israel to result in the one universal king, Jesus Christ, in his humanity. All right, so you have the wow consecutive, our verb to come, Cal, perfect third, master and singer, Bo, B-O. When he came, proper noun, Judah, and along with his brothers, obviously, wow conjunction, our noun for brothers, common masculine plural construct, third, masculine singer, suffix, ach, A-C-H. To Joseph's house is literally to the house of Joseph in the Hebrew, our noun for house, common masculine singer, construct, bayith. B-A-Y-I-T-H, proper noun, Joseph. He was still there. Wow conjunction, you had the pronoun who, third masculine singer, H-U-E, he himself, was still there, continued to be there. And adverb, ode, third masculine singer, suffix, O-D. There is your adverb sham, S-H-A-M. And they, the brothers, fell to the ground before him. Wow, consecutive, our verb to fall here, calon perfect third masculine plural, to fall, N-A-T-H-A-L, preposition lamed. Before him is the common. Is the preposition lama with the common both plural construct noun with the third masculine singer suffix paneh, P-A-N-E-H, literally his face, hence before his presence, before him, to the ground, it prostrated all the way, basically flat on the ground to him, common feminine singer absolute eretz, E-R-E-T-S. So verse 15. 15, and Joseph said to them, what is this deed or work or thing you have done? Wow, consecutive, our verb to say, he said, cal, imperfect third masculine singer, amar, A-M-A-R. He said, to them, preposition lamed, to them, third masculine plural suffix, Joseph, proper noun, the interrogative particle, ma, M-A-H, what? Is the deed or work is your definite article, common masculine singer absolute, ma'aseh, M-A-A-S-E-H. This one, the obviously reference to the supposed theft, definite article, adjective, masculine singer, zeh, D-E-H. This deed, as it's translated, that you have done, relative pronoun, a share, that or which, A-S-H-E-R, you've done is the cal perfect second masculine plural a verb asah, A-S-A-H, to do something. Do you not know that such a man as I can indeed practice divination? Divination, once again, comes to bear. Interrogative particle ha, H-A, do, question mark. You all not know, literally. Do you not know? Yet an negative particle with the cal perfect second masculine plural verb yada, y-a-d-a, to know something, to have information, the Eastern yada yada deal, don't you? You know. When you're too lazy to talk about the rest of it. That is your conjunction key here, K-I-Y. Practicing divination is our construction here. Typical, as we've seen for this, is the same verb repeated twice, nakash, N-A-C-H-A-S-H, first as a PL infinity, in its form divining, then is a PL imperfect third masculine singular, he can divine, or hence foretell, the nakash, nakash. And then you have literally a man which is like me, one such as myself. You have common masculine singular noun ish, ish, relative pronoun to share, asher, preposition kaf with the first common singular suffix, which is like me. Verse 16. So, in spite of the overt genuflecting of contrition or humility, Joseph simply just accuses them flat to their face. And in verse 16, Judah then takes on the position of a spokesperson. We see its importance here in this regard. So Judah said, while consecutive, Amar, to say, proper noun, Judah, the Amar, Cal, imperfect third masculine singular, A-M-A-R. Then he responds with three rhetorical questions, all expecting a negative answer. You have the interrogative particle ma, M-A-H, what. First, can we say or might we say? Is amar again our verb to say? A-M-A-R, here is a cal perfect, imperfect first common plural, kind of subjunctive mood, if, as it would be related in the Greek. Hence might, the condition. Preposition lamed, to my lord. Common masculine singular construct, first common singular suffix adon, A-D-O-N. Then interrogative particle ma, repeated, what, M-A-H. And then can we speak, is your PL imperfect first common plural, davar, might we speak, can we speak, D-A-B-A-R. What words would mitigate against this? And then the wow conjunction, and then how can we justify ourselves? Again, the interrogative particle ma, M-A-H, in what way or how? And then you have the hith pile, which is reflexive in the Hebrew, imperfect first common plural, to sadak, to justify, make right, T-S-A-D-A-Q. Can we justify ourselves? Exonerate ourselves is the idea. Show that we're innocent. And then comes the confession. God has found out the iniquity of your servants. You have the definite article, followed with our noun for God, common masculine plural absolute, Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-Y-M, which is the plural ending for the singular noun for God, El. Elohim is a plural recognizing the Trinity, the Godhead. Every time you see that in the Bible, it reflects that there's more than just Allah, a God, one God in person. There's three persons. But anyway, for all those who deny the Trinity, what do you do with that? Then you have our verb define, cal, perfect third masculine singular, matzah, M-A-T-S-A. The God has found, assigned a direct object to note what he's found, and that is a common both singular construct, noun, aeon, A-O-N, the iniquity or guilt of this noun has a nuance of judgment associated with guilt. We saw it back in Genesis 4:13. Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is too great to bear. My punishment, my guilt, his sin for killing his the first homicide that existed in history, killing his brother Abel." For what? Because Abel was positive, oriented to doctrine. Genesis 15:16. So hence the punishment, as God causing to be unique with a mark and separated from the family, basically. Genesis 15:16. And then in the fourth generation, in regards to the prophecy that our whole deal is leading to be fulfilled. The fourth generation, they will return here, for the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet complete. The iniquity of the Amorite, the judgment, national judgment, in regards to this Gentile nation. And then 19:15. Here in regards to Lot and his wife and daughters, and when the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, unless you be swept away in the punishment." The sin of the city. The sin being none other than the homosexual vice. The sodomites. That's where you get the word sodomites from. A few movies you watch will even use a correct vernacular hardly anymore. Shawshank Redemption's one of them. I'll put you down there with the sodomites. And that should put fear in your heart today, and it's embraced as something that's normal. How sick is that? You wonder why our country gets it in 1 hour, one day. We're proponents of abnormal perversion. Anyway, then your servants, the iniquity of your servants, common masculine plural construct noun, the second masculine singular suffix, aved, E-V-E-D. Behold, we are my Lord's slaves, as he goes on, Judah here, both we and the one in whose possession the cup has been found. Behold is your interjectory particle, henna, exclamatory, if you will, H-I-N-N-E-H. Very emphatic. Servants is again aved, E-V-E-D, common masculine plural absolute. For our Lord, literally preposition lamed, common masculine singular struct, first common singular suffix, adon, A-D-O-N. Then you have both we and the one. You have conjunction gam, G-A-N, singularly when used by itself. You translate it also or indeed. When you have it used back-to-back like it is here, it has emphasis of both and. Both and. So both is the first translation. We ourselves is a pronoun, first common plural, anekenu, A-N-A-C-H-E-N-U, and conjunction gone repeated. Then you have the relative pronoun, a share, A-S-H-E-R. Here we translate it as the object here, whom has been found, the cup, literally. You have the verb define again, matsa. Here's in the passive form, nifal, M-A-T-S-A. The cup, definite article, gabia, common masculine singular absolute, G-A-B-A-I-Y-A. In his hand or possession is the idea of preposition bet. then the common feminine singular struct, third masculine singular suffix, yod, Y-A-D. So Judah offers himself in all to the enslavement of this vizier, this ruler. Verse 17, but he, that being now the ruler, Joseph, said, far be it from me to do this. And we'll try to explain all this. You have the wow consecutive, said, Amar, Calum Perfect Third Masculine Singular, A-M-A-R. Then far be it is your interjectory particle, halil, H-A-Y-L-I-Y-L. Far be it is how you translate it. It's the same particle that we saw back in verse 7 of the brothers denying the accusation of theft. Far be it. So those, you have a connecting factor there. So far be it for me, preposition lamed with the first common singular suffix, then that's followed with the preposition men, and the cal infinitive construct asa, from doing, literally A-S-A-H. This is your adjective feminine singular zoth, Z-O-T-H, this or such. This man in whose possession the cup has been found, he will be my slave. He dictates how things will go. Definite article here to note a particular man, that would be Benjamin, common masculine singular absolute Ish, I-S-H, Haish, with whom, relative pronoun, a share repeated, A-S-H-E-R, found is Matsah, M-A-T-S-A, again, Nifal, perfect third masculine singular. The cup, definite article, same construction as earlier, Gadia, G-A-D-A-I-Y-A, common masculine singular absolute, in his hand or possession, a preposition bet with our noun Yod, common feminine singular construct, third masculine singular suffix, Y-A-D. He himself will become for me a slave, literally. Pronoun who, third masculine singular, he himself, H-U, will become as a cal imperfect, third masculine singular, his future destiny, Hayah, H-A-Y-A-H, for me, preposition lamed, first common singular suffix, again, slave or servant, Aved, E-V-E-D, common masculine singular absolute. But as for you, go up in peace to your father. Wow, conjunction, for you yourselves, you in particular, pronoun, second masculine plural, atem, you all yourselves, A-T-T-E-M, go up or ascend, Allah, cal imperative, masculine plural, A-L-A-H. In peace is a noun, common masculine singular absolute, or word shalom, S-H-A-L-O-M, to your father, preposition L, E-L, followed with the common masculine singular construct, second masculine plural suffix, our word for father, Ab. Then we have the Hebrew scribe in the paragraph, Fay, that's in the text. That's not inspired, but that's the Hebrew author or translators looking from their point perspective, the end of the paragraph. Actually, the end of this verse would have been the better chapter break here for 44 than where we initially had it. But anyway, we live with what we have. All right, well, our time's all but up. We got through that. So when we return Tuesday, we can start with fresh with the analysis. Father, again, thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God the Holy Spirit continue to lighten these things. In Jesus' name, amen.